Our text for today is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there's two verses there I want to read and consider for a few minutes for our subject matter and our sermon today. So if you are physically able, would you stand while I read these two verses in your hearing, and then we will unpack them a little bit and see what we can glean to help us in our daily lives. Beginning at verse 12, 2 Timothy 3, it reads, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly, to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Father, thank you so much for your goodness and faithfulness to us today. We stand amazed at your care, and we confess today that we love you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And we are here today to worship you. You brought us through all the experiences of life. And we say today that you are worthy. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. You are worthy of the blessing. So meet us now in the scriptures, as we want to hear from you and understand what you have to say to us today. And may it be for your glory, for the good of our own souls, and the progress of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, our subject today, and maybe for a few weeks, we'll just see, is living in denial. Living in denial. People live their lives on the basis of what they perceive to be true, yes? On the basis of their own perception of what truth is. And because of that, You've probably heard this slogan today, that's your truth, right? And that's my truth. And so that's the idea behind that, is people push back when we try to present truth to them from the Word, from the wisdom of God, from the throne of God. They push back responding with, "That's your truth," you see. But that's the perspective of the generation in which we live. But it's not new, right? This perspective is not new. You remember one of the repetitive lines in the book of Judges is what? Every man lived according to his own way, right? According to what he saw to be right in his own eyes. Do you remember that in the book of Judges? And so this is not new. As the Bible says to us, there's nothing new under the sun. But you see, living by this perspective of what you perceive to be true is foolish. Proverbs 12 says that it's a fool who lives in this way with what is right in your own eyes, right? But not only is it foolish, it's destructive. Proverbs 14, there's a way that seems what? Right to a man. But the end of it is the way of death. The end of it is the way of destruction. And so even though people feel empowered when they say, "I'm living by my truth," God wants them to know that regardless of empowered you feel, how arrogant you are, that way that seems right to you leads to ultimate death and destruction. And so when you consider that how provocative this matter is, you go all the way back to, you remember when Jesus was standing there before Pontius Pilate, you know, the governor there in Rome, and presenting truth to him. You remember what Pilate said, right? What is truth? In John 18, what is truth? And you know, that's an amazing question, isn't it? Don't you find that amazing? That this is the ruler in this province, and he is the one asking what is truth. But that's the challenge that everyone has if you don't surrender yourself, to surrender your mind, you see, to the truth of God. As Paul told the Corinthians, you know, that's the reason our weapon is not of the flesh, but we have divine power, right? Taking every thought captive, right, to the obedience of Christ, the obedience of the Word of God. And so there he is asking what is truth. And the irony of it is people are asking this today. 2,000 years later, people are still asking what is truth. And people are serious about it. Because people are asking this where is truth? And they look to news, the news media. They look to. There was a time that that the news media was extremely reliable. But today, you find that there's more commentary with news than there is factual reporting. Right. So where is truth in the news? The school systems. In the area of education are supposed to present truth to the children, but we find more and more that children are just being indoctrinated, right, with whatever is current at the time. On our jobs, seem to compromise so easily to the pressures that come from particularly the government. So that you cannot depend upon truth on your job, and you certainly can depend upon truth in the government, because people are looking and still asking, where is truth when you look at the government, when you look at the leaders, the representatives that we send there, when you look at the laws that are being passed, where is the truth in the matter? Where is truth in medicine? Where medicine is supposed to be helpful to those who it is administered to. And yet the truth is we find that medicine is extremely harmful today, and science and even seminaries. It's an amazing thing to go to seminaries and find out that the seminaries have succumb to the pressures around the compromise of the world, being conformed to the world and even the church. So this is what's kind of burdened me for this particular sermon, is the matter of truth. And so today we're just going to address the matter of truth and deception in life as a matter of introduction, and then we'll kind of see where we go from there next week. And we're going to look at, first of all, deceit, as we see here in verse 13, and then we're going to look at persecution, as we see in verse 12. All right? So let's dive in. Now, deceit. Now, I want to remind you that this text comes from a letter written to Timothy, who was a young pastor and evangelist. written from his father in the gospel, right? Paul. And then that Paul is describing the evil, the wickedness, and the godlessness of the last days. You go back to verse 1 there in chapter 3. And he says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, right? See verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Look at verse 6. For among them are those who creep into households of and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Verse 9. Just as Joannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. You see it? Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Okay? And so that's the background as Paul is laying out, preparing Timothy and us for the kind of deceit that he's going to present. Now, he contrasts this lifestyle that we just read about with the lifestyle that Timothy and you and I and believers in the first century are to have. That was the lifestyle of the wicked, the lifestyle of the godless. But he contrasts that. You see, look at verse 11. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Okay? And so, you see this amazing contrast here. As he begins to talk to Timothy, to the believers in the first century, and to you and I 2,000 years later, 2,100 years later, almost. And so he says, we're going to now be engaged with the problems that are relevant. And so the first thing you notice is you look at verse 13. The first thing you notice is he talks about evil. You see that in verse 13, he says, while evil people and imposters go from bad to worse. Evil. And so evil people refers to their inherent malicious character. It's the character that he's getting at. And the word evil, porneros, it means to be morally or socially worthless. That's something to think about. Have you ever thought of evil like that? That's what the word literally means in the Greek. To be morally or socially worthless. And you think about that, the Bible refers over and over to worthless men. You remember that? The sons of Eli. You remember about the Bible describes the sons of Eli as worthless men. because of the very evil in their character and their nature. 1 Samuel 2. Nabal, you remember Nabal? Abigail's husband, the drunkard that would not treat David fairly, and David had been caring for his sheep. He's referred to as a worthless man because of the evil that was in his heart. And this whole idea of worthless people is carried throughout the Bible. Because throughout the Bible we see what? Evil people. Okay? And so, then not only do we have evil people, but he says we also have imposters. The word goes. Goes is the phonetically, I'm sorry, for those on Zoom or maybe listening, I apologize, I didn't. Poneros is phonetically spelled P-O-N-E-R-O-S. That's the word for evil. And then the word for imposter is spelled, believe it or not, G-O-E-S with a long E, goes. Imposters, and you wouldn't think of it, but the word means sorcery. Has to do with sorcery and being a witch, a wizard, or a magician. Have you ever thought of imposter being like that? But see, that's the reason the Word of God is given, so that we may learn. You see, these are pretenders, but they're getting their source, their information, their strength is demonic. You see, that's the idea here. They resort to evil for results, right? Sorcerers resort to what? Evil for results. Wizards resort to evil for results. Magicians resort to, magicians as it's referred to in the Bible, resort to evil for results. Palm readers, auditing, all of these methods that look to any, that look away from God. They're imposters, you see. And they look to the world and to the evil system to give what only God can give, so that it be true. And remember, that's what we're going after here. We're digging in to find out why there's so much deceit in the world. Now you notice what Paul says here. He says that they will continue to progress in evil, deceiving and being deceived. You look at verse 13 again. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, you see the progression? Go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now I've got one last word I want to show you, and I unpack the Greek because there's meaning behind it. Okay, the word deceive there, you can see it there for those listening in. It's phonetically spelled P-L-A-N-A-O, planao, and with a long A, planao, deceive. Means to cause people to go astray from a specific way. You get it? To cause people to go astray from a specific way. In this particular case, to go astray from the truth. That's what a deceiver does. Leads people away from the truth. And therefore, you find in the Bible that the devil, or Satan as he is called, is called the deceiver of the whole world, Revelation 12:9. The deceiver of the whole world. Why? Because he is leading the whole world away from what? The truth. Leading the whole world away from the truth. And Jesus also calls him what? A liar. And what? The father of lies, John 8:44. A liar and the father of lies. And what does all this mean, Brother Willie? Well, here's what I believe Paul is getting at, and I'm trying to present to you as we think about the relevance of this issue. Paul is concerned about false teachers who are evil, controlled by Satan, liars, worthless men, leading people astray from the truth. You see? But Satan's agenda is not limited to the church. You see, he was talking to Timothy about false teachers in the church. But Satan's agenda with deceit is not limited to the church, is it? It's not limited to the church. He has liars in the education system. He has liars in the employment system. He has liars and deceivers in government. Satan has liars and deceivers in the medical community. He has liars and deceivers in the news media. And you see, you can just follow it. It's in every venue of life. Why? What's the point, Brother Willie? He is deceiving the whole world. The whole world. The whole world. And so, deception is in every venue. In every venue. The whole world is getting progressively worse. You see what the verse says? They will go from what? Bad. You see, when deception is at work, it's already bad. When you bought into it, when you believe it, you're already in a bad place. But what does Paul say? You're going to go from what? Bad to worse. And many of us know people like that. You've been talking to them for days, weeks, months, some of them years, some of them in our family. And what do you see? Just like Romans 1 says, what have you seen? Just the downward spiral. The more you talk, the more you present truth, what? The more they push back. The more they say that's your truth. Right? And you look at them. You look at them living. You know where it's going. You know where they're going. You know how it's going to end up. When it's our family members, it's painful. When it's people you've spent time with, it's painful. When you know where it's going, doesn't matter how much education they have. Doesn't matter what position they have in this world system, whether they are some executive. All of those things don't matter. When they're in a bad, when they've bought into what? The lie. You're in a bad place. And if you won't listen to the truth, you're going to move from a bad place to what? Something worse. Whether you get a promotion or not, you may be moving up in the world, but you're moving further away from God and the truth. We get following? This deceit, this is serious. I mean, just look around you. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's like in the springtime. Those of us who have darker colored cars, and you can always tell when what? Pollen is in the air, can't you? It just frustrates you to what? Wash your car. Why? Because you're going to go out, it can be outside 30 minutes, and you go out there and it looks like it's been in a dust storm. Why? Because it's everywhere. The pollen is everywhere once it starts spreading. That's the way deceit is. Deceit. So it's progressive. This is why we This is why we do not love the world or the things of the world, right? God says, do not love the world or the things of the world. Why? Because it's bad, and it's moving from what? Bad to worse. Don't hitch your wagon to it. Don't wrap your arms around it. You're in it, but you're not what? You're not of it. It's all, why is it, why, what's the problem, Brother Willie? It's all based on a lie. This world system is all based on a lie. It's all empty promises that it can't fulfill. You remember Satan, took Jesus there as he was tempting him in Matthew 4, I believe it was. You remember when he took him up to the high pinnacle, and he showed him what? All the kingdoms of the world. And he said what? All of this can be yours, and all of the glory. But Jesus knew that it's all built on a lie. And how did he respond to Satan? With the truth. With the truth, my brother, my sister. Don't let people bully you because they, you know, it seems like they're on top of the world right now. You and I get our little Social Security check, and they still, you know, they're still bringing in mega bucks. And so they think they can talk down to us. You know, you and I had our meager education, and they went on to get there much, much higher, and they think that they can talk down to us because of their intellect. But you see, it's all based on a lie. If you don't know the truth, you're just a smart fool. A well-educated fool. And I'm not trying to be crude and crass in any way. But you have to not be intimidated by someone who feels like they are here and you're here because you don't have what this world has to offer. But they don't realize that what they have that this world offers is based on a lie. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall apart. It can't last. Lies can't last. System based on lies can't last. The powerful Rome that no one thought would ever fall. Nobody destroyed Rome. What happened? They imploded because the system was built on a what? On a lie. On a lie. And it's going to happen to America if we stay on the same course. We're moving from what? Bad to what? Worse. And so here we are, you see. I'm jumping ahead here, but I'm not speaking to you as those who are defeated. I'm speaking to you as those who know the truth and are not going to be bullied. See, now we're not going to be bullied by what's going on in our world, by those who are what? Deceived. Those who are deceived and those who are being deceived. Don't let them bully you. And they're in churches just like they are everywhere else. And think that they got so much more than you, know so much more than you, and you can't tell them anything. We've all met them. We've all met them. Deceived people. Deceive people. They're everywhere. We together? Now, I know it's a serious sermon, but these are serious times. These are serious times. And so, that's deceit. One other thing I want to talk about before we go is persecution, because that's mentioned here in verse 12, right? And so, you see, because Satan's deceit and lies have infiltrated all of the institutions of the world, then believers are persecuted. You see? We are persecuted in this world because his lies have infiltrated those that are running this world, those that are influencers in this world, those that who oftentimes are in authority in our sphere of life, have been influenced by deception, and many have bought into the lie. Okay? So as a result, we are persecuted. Okay? And so that's what, again, Paul was preparing Timothy for. And you remember Jesus said that we would be hated and we would experience tribulation in the world, right? If they remember, if they hate you, remember that they what? Hated me first. And in this world, you will experience tribulation. And so Paul says that we will experience persecution. Not just hatred and tribulation, but persecution. And so y'all remember several weeks back, we talked about this word persecution, and it means to be harassed, to harass someone because of their beliefs. Now you see what it is? You see where we are right now? That's the persecution that comes because of what? What we believe. What do we believe? The truth. And so we're persecuted for it. And I know it's not as aggressive in our country yet as it is in many other places, but just open your eyes. Open your eyes around the world and open your eyes here to see the way the church is being put in an adversarial posture, you see? The world views the church and people of God as adversaries. Yeah? And Jesus said, they hate you. Remember, they hated me first. And so we pray we're going to be harassed because of our beliefs. We are persecuted because we have believed the truth. We're persecuted by those who believe the lie. Isn't that ironic? We're persecuted because we believe the truth, and we're persecuted by those who have believed the lie. What lie? The lie about God, the lie about Christ, the lie about sin, the lie about salvation, the lie about heaven, the lie about hell, the lie about resurrection, the lie about creation, the lie about genders, the lie about sex, the lie about marriage, the lie about the family, the lie about the church, and just right on down everything that God created and said it's good. Now, the devil has sowed such corrupt seed in people's mind that the thing that God calls good, they call wicked and evil. The lie about being at peace with God, the lie about being at peace with other believers. But you see, we are not promised peace with unbelievers, are we? The Bible says you live at peace as much as it what? Depends upon you. As much as it depends upon you. And so that's the reality in this world, is that we know we live in a world where deceit has permeated the minds of people who, from the outward appearance, have such a upstanding look from the outward appearance. And they have such massive platforms, you see. Celebrities who get on these platforms at award shows and what? Spew out the lie. athletes who have that platform, and you know, just musicians, famous, that have that fame, and they bought the lie, and so they use that platform to persecute those who may be in the same industry but believe the truth, you see? But we, don't get sad on me. We know the truth, right? And the truth has done what? Has set us free. That's what John 8 says. You are truly my disciples. In this way, and Jesus said, once you have that the discipleship settled, you will what? Know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And so we are not troubled by this pushback that we get in all of these venues in life, even in the church. We're not discouraged that we get so much pushback in the church, and even here, when we find ourselves, we look at so many flocking to gatherings where religious gatherings, I'll call them church gatherings, where they got a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lie, you see. By who? Imposters, false teachers, you see, evil men. Paul said they are people preaching to satisfy their own what needs, and it's everywhere. Jesus said, "You'll know them by their what? By their fruit. Look at the lifestyle." We are not discouraged by this. We are free. What are we free to do? Free to live, free to love, free to give, free to serve, free to speak, free to help, free to be humble, free to be kind, free to be patient, free to forgive, free to pray. Say free. We're free. Regardless of what the persecutors bring our way, we are free. Well, that's what I wanted to present today. So, the fact is that we know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We know that the gospel is the only hope for those that are deceived. It's the only hope for those who are deceiving. We know that. We know that the gospel is the only hope for the liar and the only hope for those who are being lied to, don't we? We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is power. There's power in the gospel, power for salvation to who? Everyone who believes. Amen. The gospel of Jesus gives what? Hope to who? Everyone who believes. Well, who can be saved and who can be delivered? I'm glad you asked. Paul said, do not be deceived, writing to the Corinthians. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. And such were some of you. But you were what? Washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Amen. The power. There's power. Power in the gospel. That's what's going to help the deceived in our world. On your job, in your neighborhood, in the schools, these government officials. Power in the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. That's why we are not ashamed of the gospel. That's why we are willing to be hated for the gospel. That's why we face tribulation for the gospel. That's why we are willing to be persecuted for the gospel, because the gospel is truth. The gospel is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And we live and we love the truth. Well, God bless you. And if there's anyone here or joining us by Zoom that finds yourself deceived and having lived your life thinking that you're okay because you attend church or because you serve in a church or because you do one thing or the other, you've been deceived thinking that you're okay, and you have never considered the fact that you don't really have a real relationship with Christ. You don't know him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they what? They follow me. And so if you know you've never heard the voice of Christ, and today if you're listening and you're realizing that God, not Willie Woodmore, but God is speaking to you. And the Bible speaks of an effectual call, right? A call that reaches deep into the soul. And everybody here that's saved, everybody on Zoom that's saved knows what I'm talking about. There's a call that goes deeper than any man's voice. It reaches the soul, and it draws you to the cross. It draws you to the place where you can be forgiven. And so if there's someone here, it doesn't matter how long you've been deceived or how deeply you've gone in deception, you can be saved. Yeah? Because the gospel has what? The power to save anyone who believes. And I trust that if you hear the call, you will come today. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we spent together looking and thinking about these issues relevant to our times. Would you apply these truths in our lives? Help us to be wise as we represent you and live for you in this world. And be glorified as we think, as we speak, and as we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all, and so let's just take a few minutes and meditate and think about what we've covered today.